Hello, this is Coach Aaron Zaft in the Running His Life podcast. Today's episode, I am going to go through my choices for gear for the Hellbender 100 and why I've selected this gear, why these products. And let me start by saying I have no affiliation with any of these companies. This is just products that I trust and use. I've thought a lot about and have really kind of gone through a selection process. So maybe it will get you thinking about what you're using and is it serving the functions that you need? Do you feel compromised? Because that's the worst feeling when you feel that your product is inadequate for the purpose that you need it to be. So not that we want to be over-consuming and buying tons of products, but when I went through this, I wanted some things that would do me right. So going to go through each piece, talk about, why I've selected it, what my idea, what my thinking is. So I'll start with footwear since that's, generally the most important piece for us, especially in something like a 100-miler. So thinking about the Hellbender course, I wanted something that had good tread for the front half. The front half is a lot of single track, a lot of up and down. So I wanted something that was grippy. I definitely wanted a sticky rubber, preferably a Vibram outsole. And so I've selected the Topo Mountain Racer 3. The Topo Mountain Racer has served me well in races like Hard Rock. At the time, I was using the second iteration of the shoe. And the third feels great underfoot. I love the midsole compound. It feels great underfoot. The Vibram outsole is super tactile. It grips wet rocks really well, goes through mud, moves over terrain really well. I feel stable in it. Which is, that could be a tough component when the lugs get larger. I believe the lugs on the Mountain Racer are like 5mm lugs, which, that's pretty significant. They could be even a little bit longer than that. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but, the Topo Mountain Racer 3, it's going to serve a great function for me in those early to mid late miles. I plan on using it all the way at least until we hit Neal's Creek the second time, which is, by my approximations, around mile 70, I believe. So at that time, I kind of assess and see if I want to switch into the Ultra Olympus 5. Those that have been listening to the podcast, the Olympus was my workhorse through much of the Grand Slam. I use that shoe infinitesimally more than any other shoe. So it'll be my fallback this time. Reason being, I wanted something a little bit more nimble, that could move well over the early terrain, again, of the Hellbender course. It can be quite rocky and rooty, and I didn't want to worry about my ankles as much. My ankles are always a concern, but I feel more nimble and comfortable in the Topo Mountain Racer 3. But again, I will have a backup pair of Mountain Racer 3s as well as an Ultra Olympus 5, or at least one pair, perhaps two, ready to go with my crew or perhaps even in a drop bag as a just in case. Those are my two trail running shoes, my go-tos, the two that I'm going to trust for not only training but for race day at Hellbender. Now, those of you that follow me on Strava, you've seen I've been on the treadmill an exorbitant amount. Right now, with the way high school coaching is, my afternoons are just slammed with practice. I am there from 2, sometimes 2:30, to 5:30, 6 o'clock. So it's a huge chunk of my afternoon, which really cuts down on the amount of time that I have to do everything else. Waking up early, I'm typically waking up somewhere between 4 a.m. and 4:30 a.m., to just jump on the treadmill and get going. It is convenient. I would love to get outside and run. Right now, with the cold snap and the rain, the way it's been, it's, again, it's just been more convenient to just go downstairs, hop on the treadmill, kind of watch my heart rate, just kind of get in some good base training, because I feel like this base training has just been, you know, exactly what I needed. You know, I went out this past weekend. Nathan and I did a almost 5-hour run. And it was about 19 and a half miles with 6,000 feet of gain just right here in my backyard in Mills River. And, you know, I felt so much stronger. So, you know, things are getting better. My fitness is getting better. You know, the experience and the climbs, we did Friday, we did the hilly neighborhood. If you saw it on Strava, we did every road in the hilly neighborhood and then just threw in one more climb just so we'd hit 3,000 feet in a roughly almost 13 miles. So Friday night, 3,000 feet, and Sunday, 6,000 feet of climbing. So, you know, really, really good up and down, because we had, you know, the equivalent in descent. So really good weekend, you know, about 9,000 feet in 2 days. So very pleased with the way that's going. Right now, my weekends are kind of where I'm hitting my vert. You know, I don't need to be doing too much training. I can tell my steep climbing isn't quite there yet, but it doesn't need to be. I need to focus my steep climbing closer to the event. Right now is really just gaining fitness and getting my legs used to being back out on the trails and, you know, getting in whatever vertical gain I can. It's, you know, obviously it's not the focus right now. Right now it's just volume and just kind of maintaining that zone two, zone three, getting myself back to the fitness that I need. So that is why I find myself on the treadmill so much. Now, why do I mention that? Well, obviously the Topo Mountain Racer 3 and the Altris Olympus 5 aren't ideal for the treadmill. So I have been using the Topo Flylight 5, which I really enjoyed, but the durability of the shoes seemed a little underwhelming, unfortunately. Love the Topo line, obviously, but kind of blew through that pair of shoes. How many miles? I'd have to look at Strava to see how many miles I got on that pair, but just seemed to kind of kick those pretty quickly. So what I did was I ordered the Topo Atmos, which is their maximal cushion shoe. And, you know, interestingly enough, it feels great underfoot. Now, I'm not going to use that for every run on the treadmill or out on the road. It's used more as those days where I want a recovery run, where my legs are already a little bit beat up. You know, I did a 2-hour run on the treadmill today, and I used the Altra Forward Experience. That's the new ramped Altra shoe. It has a 4-millimeter ramp. I have to admit, it was a little bit stiff to start. I was surprised by how stiff the midsole feels after, you know, running in the Atmos yesterday. The Atmos is just really soft and plush. It feels so good underfoot, especially on the treadmill. Whereas the Altra Forward feels a bit more stiff. That's, you know, the best way to describe it. Definitely still love the ride of the shoe. I was looking for something to replace the Flylight 5, so that's why I got the Altra Forward. And, you know, I think I'm going to be okay with it. You know, it's not that plush ride, but that's why I have the Atmos. So I've got two good road options. I also have the Escalante Racer by Altra, which, you know, I can do my fast stuff in. So I've got some options for road and treadmill as well, because obviously all my runs are not going to be on the trail, just given my schedule. That kind of completes my lineup. You know, there's some others that I kind of throw in there here and there, but those are going to be my heavy hitters. That's my lineup. The Topo Mountain Racer 3, the Topo Atmos, the Altra Olympus 5, and the Altra Forward Experience. Really enjoy those shoes. You know, obviously you can see where my mindset is when it comes to footwear. I like lower ramp. I like a wider toe box. You know, it's all depending on your experience. Are those shoes right for you? And are those shoes right for Hellbender? Maybe not for you. Again, you know, you need to find what is comfortable to you. You know, Nathan uses a lot of Salomon shoes. He also has some La Sportiva, and he tried the Acerterix. So he likes a little bit, you know, narrower toe box. But you know, I think he's experimenting too, trying to find the right shoe. So it's all according to you, your needs, what you feel, what you're comfortable in. You know, those are the shoes that I am most comfortable in. Now, you know, next, you know, I don't know if I should go in some semblance of order, but let's talk about my socks. I've trusted the ExoSkin ExoToe crew socks for my racing for, quite a few years now. And I can't step away. Every time I try something different, I just go right back to the ExoToes. Really love the fit, function, durability, and the lack of blisters and hot spots that I receive. Do I get some hot spots now and again? Sure. If it's a really steep downhill, I mean, Bigfoot, man, my heels were burning, and we had to do some triage to my heels when I did Bigfoot because I was just having problem with. And it could have been all of that volcanic ash and dust that kept getting into my shoes that kept creating irritation because I just had some really tough problems at Bigfoot. But anything else this past summer, I really did not have any problems with my feet aside from when I used Cyclone 2, the Topo Cyclone 2 at Badger, the pinky toe got really sore, blistered, if you will, just because of the taper of the toe box on that one, which is why I'm trying to be a little bit more careful with what I'm using. But, you know, again, that wasn't really the fault of the sock. It was more of the taper of the shoe. So, my go-to is the Exo Toes by ExoSkin, the crew sock. Absolutely love that. The height of the crew sock allows for gaiters, which is the next piece. I use the Dirty Girl gaiters. My family got me Dirty Girl gaiters, and I love them. The Altra is a very, very great gaiter. I have had problems with durability of the Altra gaiters. I love the way they feel, fit. But you know, Dirty Girl makes a very similar gaiter to the Altra gaiter, and it seems to be more durable. So, I'm very pleased with the Dirty Girl. Shoes like the Altra, they fit right on. Because the Altra has the gaiter Velcro on the back and the little hoop for the front clip, which Dirty Girl also has. Topo does not have the Velcro on the back, so you have to glue on a piece of Velcro. The Dirty Girls do come with Velcro that you can use to glue onto your shoes. Very simple, very simple. I think I even have a YouTube video on how to do it. It's quite simple. So you can check out my YouTube video. I'll try to remember to include that in my show notes. Just making a note. So, yes, Dirty Girl gaiters. Again, links will be in the show notes as to, you know, all of these websites for so you can check out the products yourself. But yeah, Dirty Girls has so many different patterns and colors and sizes depending on your foot size, as does the Altras. But those two are probably the best gaiters that I've come across. I've tried a number of different pairs. I tried the Topo. I tried Black Diamond, and I just didn't like the way that they worked with the shoes, or didn't work with the shoes in that case. So, in all full honesty and openness, Dirty Girls is my number one pick, and Altras would be my second pick, again, because the Altra durability is just, I've gotten holes in mine pretty quickly. So I've gone through those, whereas the Dirty Girls, I have not. So I've been very pleased with those. Okay, so that covers footwear, socks, and gaiters. What next? Let's talk about my pack. Okay, I've talked in the past few episodes. I have ended working with Useway, and for no fault of their own, I just wanted to be comfortable with my pack. What I deemed was that even though I loved their 15-liter pack. Since I've switched over to loading bottles and using front-loaded bottles for my hydration and not using bladder anymore, the bottles do not fit as well into the Useway 15, the Pace 15, which I hope they address because it is a great pack otherwise. But my level of comfort with the Salomon Advanced Skin 12, the history I've had with that pack just made me go back to it. I've used that pack. I've used it for UTMB. I used it for Hard Rock. It's just a great pack. I love the amount that you can put in it, the stretch, the fit, the bungee cords across the sternum. There's just so many good things about the Salomon Advanced Gen 12. Now, I have an older edition of the Salomon Advanced Gen 12. They have updated it quite a bit. Actually, Nathan has one of the updated versions, and we were comparing ours the other day. And his drop-in pouch in the back, it has on the outside, it's more stretchy, so it's easier to get things in and out of his, whereas mine's a little bit more rigid. Nice update to the new one. It looks like we still have the same pockets and everything, so nothing quite different from my pack there. Mine, in the interest of, again, not trying to overconsume and overpurchase, I've been using my old Salomon Advanced Gen 12. I do have a backup, which will be with my crew just in case something happens. I've had races where packs have broken. I can think of three instances where my pack has broken. And one instance, I had nothing to back it up. The second instance I can think of, I made a jimmy-rigged repair and was able to wear that pack. But after that, I decided I needed to have a backup pack. In which my third, once my pack filled, then I was able to switch into my reserve pack. It's also nice too, if you don't have a ton of mandatory kit, which obviously a race like Hellbender has a mandatory kit, and you have to switch over like your satellite tracker and all that stuff. But if that's not the case in your race, it's also to have a nice secondary pack if you can leave it with your crew fully loaded, or they can load it for you. So you can come in and just switch packs and keep moving. You don't have to switch everything out of your pack. So, something also to consider. But the Salomon Advanced Gen 12 has served me well. I did a whole video on packing your pack. You can check that out on YouTube as well to see how to balance out your pack. So I'll try to make another YouTube link in the show notes. Just making another note. there we go. Okay, so moving on. I also, with my pack, use the Salomon Quiver. It's an easy attachment. I did have the quiver kind of, the attachment at the bottom is a little, it's not the greatest. I have to work with that. I think I need to kind of tie it somehow so that it doesn't pop out. But I don't want to make the bottom of the quiver too tight because right now it's easy to get my poles in and out. Really love that. It's something in the past that I couldn't quite figure out. And, as of late, I kind of figured out, I watched a video and, got the attachment understood. And then, now it's served me quite well. So the Salomon Quiver has been worth it for my poles. Cause, obviously, races like Hellbender and, I'll be going to High Lonesome this summer. You can store your poles when you don't need them. So, that's a nice feature, especially on the Salomon vest. It works quite well. So, So that's another piece that I'm using, the quiver. It has served me well. Okay. So, moving on, let's talk a little bit about lighting. I've trusted the Petzl Swift RL, pretty much since it came out. I love the fact that you can, purchase extra batteries, to use with it, all being rechargeable. The RL piece is the reactive lighting, and the reactive lighting kind of saves battery. So if there's a brighter light or a reflective surface in which you can, gain light from, it will dim the light and save the battery, which is, super cool. I usually run it in mid brightness, which is still super bright. And I've been able to run the battery through most of the night. As it gets towards morning, I do have to replace the battery. Even running it in mid mode, it still has a really good battery duration. Love the fact that you can even make it brighter. I mean, 900 lumens on a headlamp is incredible. Really love that capacity of that headlamp. The fit feels great. The headband is super comfortable. I don't typically have to wear a buff or anything, to kind of not make it abrasive to my forehead. You know, some headlamps, they just kind of annoy your forehead. They feel like it starts to ache after a while and get discomfort. I can wear the Swift RL the entire night without anything and be fine. So the Petzl Swift RL, you know, it's definitely a little bit pricier than a lot of headlamps out there, but I think the comfort and the function, the brightness, they're all worth the cost of the light. And as I said, you can pick up an extra, you know, battery or two, and especially, you know, having one with you and then having one with your crew as a just in case, it's kind of just a peace of mind to have those backup batteries. So yes, the Petzl Swift RL. I also use a waist light. I love having the headlight and waist light combo. The waist light I have chosen and I've just upgraded over Christmas was the Ultra Aspire Lumen 850 Duo waist light. Now it's called Duo. It serves a dual function. It comes with a headband that you can attach the waist light to and use it as a headlight. So you could have the potential for it to be a headlight as well, which is super cool. And it's 850 lumens, which is, again, that's super bright. the cool thing about this light is with the battery that it comes with, the duration lasts me pretty much the whole night. You know, I'm trying to think if I'm pretty sure. Well, I haven't used the... I haven't used the 850 in a 100 miler yet. I've used it in a run, and it's, you know, the duration, durability of the battery is great. It uses the old batteries that you know, its predecessors, all of the 600s and 450s and you know, all of the original waist lights used. So if you have those light, you know, those batteries already, you're all set. They can be found cheaply. You can go to a Battery Plus store. You know, any store that's just sells batteries, and you can probably find replacement batteries there. Of course, Ultra Aspire has replacement batteries and the dual charger, right? So you can get the dual charger so you can charge two batteries at once. It's super handy, especially, you know, you can charge it with a USB in the car. A super handy little, you know, kind of thing to have is that dual charger. So if you haven't checked out the dual charger, check that out. Make a note to put the dual charger link in the show notes as well. So that will be there. So yeah, that's my lighting. Tons of lighting right there. I use the Petzl Bindi as kind of an emergency light. I also have the Nightcore. I've talked about that one in the past as well. Both are super light, and I think you get 250 lumens out of each. They're both rechargeable, so two good options there. So let me just put those, because I didn't think about those, Petzl Bindi and Nightcore. So those will also be in the show notes. Okay, so you can check those out. Those are emergency lights. I always carry an emergency light just in case, because those are so light and so small. So they don't take up much room, and it gives you a peace of mind. Yeah. All right, let's see. Gone through a lot already. Still some more to go. Let's talk about poles. So my Leckies, I've been using Leckies for quite some time now. I switched over to Leckies from Black Diamonds after UTMB. I wanted to give Leckies a try. I really enjoy the Shark Grip system. The gloves, I feel like I can extend more. I trust myself more to push off since the pole's attached to the glove. I don't trust myself on the loops that come with the Black Diamond. To get full extension, I feel so much more comfortable with the Leckie style, again, with it being attached to the glove. So I'm sticking with the Leckies. Out on our run the other day, I posted on social media where we went up the Bunker Horse Trail and ran into snow. I snapped a pole on the way back down, so I have one more to replace. So I still have a pair, but I always want a backup pair because, you know, anything can happen. I've snapped two poles in races. I snapped one at UTMB and I snapped one at Bigfoot. And so, you know, I kind of want to make sure that I always have a backup pair with my crew as a just in case. So this time I'm waiting for Leckie to come out with their new lineup. It looks like they're kind of selling and putting on sale their, you know, maybe their 23 line. So I'm waiting for the 24 line to come out. I was kind of surfing the web to see when that might be. I don't see any indication, but if, you know, if it comes the time, where, you know, it's kind of getting close to race day. I'll probably just see if I can find, you know, a 2023 pair of Leckies. Cause I really, like I said, I really trust that. I use their, Nordic, Breeze Shark Glove. It's a fingerless glove. The ones that it comes with, it tends to, cut my hand, or more, you know, more precisely my wrist. So I switched over to, and it's a, you know, it's a separate purchase, but the Nordic shark gloves, Nordic Breeze, I think it's called. I'll look that up and I'll put it in the show notes as well. But it, you know, it serves a great function because if you're not using your poles, if they're stowed, you've got protection on your hands. You know, so they are padded. If you fall, kind of protects the hands as well. Your hands don't get too warm. I've used them in hot races and I've been fine. So yeah, check those out as well. They even have a winter pair, which I just realized. And they have almost like a mitt as well. So they've got some cool products on the Leckie website. Again, link in the show notes. So check those out. My most recent purchase and probably one of my more important purchases is a new rain jacket. The last time I took out my Innovate, I've had the Storm Shell. I've been a big fan, big proponent of the Innovate Storm Shell, but it started to weep through. So I started getting wet on the inside and noticing, even though I had washed it with the DWR, you know, there's the wash that you use with your waterproof jackets. So you're supposed to, every time you use it in rainy conditions, you should run it through the wash cycle with you know, with the treatment wash so that it it helps the longevity of the coat. But mine, unfortunately, is not as waterproof as it needs to be. With the races that I've got coming up, both Hellbender and High Lonesome, I wanted to make sure I had a great jacket. So I started doing some research online, started reading a lot of the reviews, a lot of the best ofs, and two jackets kept popping up in almost every review, one being the North Face jacket, but it looks like they discontinued the make of it. It does look like they brought out a new one. My hesitation with that piece was it was super expensive. It was $300. And you know, some of the reviews said that it was a lot heavier than, you know, any other jacket out there, which, you know, trade-off being it's super waterproof. But I think I found a great option in the Montbel Rain Trekker jacket. So the Montbel Rain Trekker jacket, it's one piece of fabric. So there's limited seams that needed to be taped, which was a really big attractive piece, you know, an item that I looked at, you know, when I saw this jacket and it said it's made out of one piece of fabric, limited seams. That's huge because then you don't have as many points of entry that water can seep through. So, and the price point was actually pretty darn good. I think it was $220, which, you know, if you look at rain jackets, you're probably going to spend anywhere from, you know, well, if you're looking at truly waterproof, you're going to spend over $200, that's for sure. But a $220 price point for what we're getting here with the Montbel Trekker jacket, I was quite pleased with the purchase. So eager to test that out in the rain. I haven't taken it out in the rain yet, but like I said, you know, my most recent purchase, thought about going back to the Innovate just because it's so comfortable. Love that jacket. So, you know, if you ever see that jacket and it's on sale, it's a great jacket. I've had two editions of it, but wanted to try something different. So trying out the Montbel Rain Trekker jacket. So moving on, On shorts, I've talked about in the past, the Rabbit FKT. I use the 7-inch. It does come in three different editions. There's a 5-inch, and then I don't remember if it's a 3-inch maybe, FKT short. But they're on edition 2.0. The material's a little bit different than the original FKT short, which I'm still a huge fan of the original material. So I still use the 1.0, we'll call it. But the FKT, the Rabbit FKT short, that's been my tried and true short for quite a few years now. I've been wearing that for a long time and still loving that short. So, and then underneath that, I use the Exoskin Zounderwear Seamless Liner 3/4 shorts. It is a compression short. It's 3/4, so it comes to directly above the knee. But the reason I use this is that it limits chafing. Even in the warmest conditions, I can wear it. It's very thin, very breathable, very comfortable. I've not found anything that's, kind of meets the standards of the Exoskin Zounderwear. I know I'm pushing two Exoskin, pieces here, but, they really did a good job when they came out with this seamless liner. I love it. And there is a shorter version. So if you're not a fan of the 3/4 short, there is, a mid thigh, version of the short. And there is women's versions of this short as well, but it is a great underpiece. Like I said, it limits the amount of chafing, limits the amount of reapplication or even application of lube. The run that I spoke about the other day, the 5-hour run, 19 and a half miles, I did not apply lube. I just wore the Exoskin Zounderwear. No problems. I didn't even think about chafing. Didn't even have a problem. So, great product. Great product there. So that rounds out my shorts. So far as tops go, big fan of the Patagonia. I've been using two different shirts. One is discontinued, but the other is called the Patagonia Ridge Flow shirt. I love that shirt. You may see pictures of me, especially at Bigfoot. It's got kind of a like ripple pattern. It's a horizontal ripple pattern. You may see me in orange and blue. I have it in orange, blue, and gray. But one of my faves. Love the Patagonia shirts. I also use one of the Rabbit shirts. We'll see if they come out with it again. It's kind of their cooling material. It's perforated. I think they call it ice perf. So between the Patagonia and the Rabbit ice perf shirts, I love, and perf stands for perforation. It's got the laser cut holes. I love those two shirts. I've really been pleased with those guys. But that rounds out my apparel, rounds out my gear. There's other pieces, obviously little things here and there, but those are the major things that, I really love wearing, and why I love wearing them. So again, I hope it, starts you thinking about, is your gear serving you in the needs that you need? Do you have what you need? Is there anything else that, could serve you better? I've been watching some of the videos, and I needed a pair of waterproof gloves. So I went on again, started doing my research. There's a company named Sealskins. I can put them in the show notes as well. But the Sealskin gloves, are amazing. I love the feel of them. They're like a knit material, which feels great. I think it's three different layers, but it's waterproof, and they've got, grips. They've got the sensory touch for your phones. It's not too expensive. You can pick them up on Amazon. That was also a recent purchase, especially for training. It's one of those things when obviously if your hands go, the run just goes south from there. So check these things out again, go through your gear, make sure you got what you need. These races are so important to us, and we don't want our lack of gear or, our inadequate gear, I guess you could say, to make our race suffer or potentially cause us to DNF. That's the last thing we want. So want to make sure we have what we need, what we're comfortable with. You know, and as I went through with Bigfoot, you know, when I did Bigfoot, it was such a task to find shoes, right? I went through probably too many shoes in that search to try to find the right shoe, but it was well worth it, you know, on race day. So, you know, you're going to be out there long enough that you need these pieces to be exactly what you want and what you need and what you're comfortable with. Never want something, you know, to be worrying you. Is this going to be okay? Right? Like that, if you're asking yourself, is this going to be all right? It's not worth that, you know, slight bit of doubt in your mind. Keep working until you find something that's completely solid. Lots of stuff out there, lots of reviews, lots of, you know, people that you can ask questions to. So use your resources, you know, do your work, do your homework, see what you can find. Because, you know, it's well worth it. Obviously it's well worth it on race day. I know it's a financial commitment. You know, the amount of gear that I've just talked about, it's, you know, that's an oodle of money right there. You know, we talk about running being a cheap sport, but when we get into ultra and we start talking about this gear and what's going to serve us as we try to get through 100 miles, it does, you know, kind of add up. So I recognize that. And but if you cut corners, you know, it's the old adage, you get what you pay for, right? And you know, it may not be what exactly you need or what exactly you want. Or, you know, worse, it could malfunction for you during race day. So, only cut corners so much. That's, you know, what I've learned over the years. Because when you try to cut corners, when you try to be more minimalist, it can come back to bite you. I've had too many races where, you know, I tried to go a little bit more minimalistic, have a little less gear or lighter gear, and it came back and bit me. I was either too cold, I didn't have enough, you know, rain protection, or, you know, whatever the case may be, it definitely made me suffer more than I had to. So I'd rather take the time to find, you know, the stuff that I need, and I hope you'll take that time as well. So, with that, my friends, you know, I talked about a lot of different things here. We will get back to having regular scheduled guests. My apologies for, me being on so much. It's just been a busy time as we wrap up the indoor track season here with the high school. The kids are, have their, you know, last chance meets this week. We have three meets this week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday. So 4 days of races. So it's just been incredibly busy. So my apologies for not having guests on lately. It's just been really hard for me to coordinate with anybody aside from the calls I have with my, you know, already, my athletes that I'm coaching, and practice and trying to make sure I have everything else done. So, my apologies, guys. But, like I said, we'll get back to it. I hope you enjoyed this. And as always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, don't hesitate to reach out. I always appreciate you guys. Thank you to my Patreon supporters for continuing to support the podcast. And I'll look forward to next week, my friends. But until then, keep moving forward.